Amen. In Adam or in Christ. According to Scripture, that's where every person stands. You either stand in Adam or you are in Christ. Christ and Adam are two people that Paul is teaching in this portion of the Scripture who affect everybody on earth. Everybody is affected by both Adam and Christ. And that's the interesting thing, because these are some of the kind of technical things about the Word that you and I need to understand. And the truth of the matter is everyone is either in Adam. Now, you know, we could say this. Let's break it down from the word go. Everyone is in Adam, period. To start with, you start off in Adam because that's where you are when you come into the world. Because of Adam, all of us are here. And so Adam is affecting everyone who is in the world. That's what Jesus meant when he talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and told him that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Everyone is in Adam. Same way, another way of saying the same thing that he said there. In other words, if you have been born, you have been affected by Adam. He is, we could say that Adam was the progeny of the human family, because out of him all human beings come forth. So we have an option now, which Paul is delineating here in these book, in the book of Romans, to be in Christ. This is the option that you and I have. We can accept Christ. And that's what Jesus meant when he spoke to Nicodemus and said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So being born again is the opportunity to be born in Jesus Christ, who is like Adam, because he will affect everyone. Adam affects everyone. And let's say that if we're here, as we mentioned, in the flesh, we are children of Adam, every one of us. And that's why we have no choice. There's no way to get out of it. If you're here, you're in Adam. Now, this is some very, very strong biblical doctrine. And no one really would deny that except people who are atheists, evolutionists, and folks of that sort. They like to say that there's some other way that you can be here. We're going to talk about that and address that issue a little bit here this morning. But there's some very important things that you and I need to understand. Being in Christ is a blessing that God has made available, and he began to preach it all the way back in the book of Genesis. From the very beginning, when man fell into sin in the days of Adam, God exposed the gospel of Christ, and it has been available throughout all of time. And that's the next thing we can say. Ever since man fell, God revealed a way that you could be made right, that you could be in Christ even before Christ actually became manifested in the flesh. And so that's why we say this is a very important lesson for you and I to understand. So we have some terms I want to talk with you about today that I looked up that I think kind of talk about, gives us kind of an easy way to understand what Paul is teaching here today. You've heard the phrase, how many have heard the phrase that you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket? We've all heard that probably in our time. And that's just a phrase that we say that means we don't want to invest everything we have in one spot, because if something happens to it, then the whole thing is lost and it's no good. Well, that's the way it is with salvation. If you're in Adam, then all your eggs are in one basket with him. You are trusting in the flesh to be able to deliver you and make you right in the sight of God. And so we want to look at that just briefly. And another thing I want to address, and I have to probably give a disclaimer for this, because I don't want to be deemed as being unkind or anything, but just recently in our time here, one of the most prolific advocators of atheism that the world has ever known passed, went to his grave on last Sunday, in fact, a week from today. And I was kind of shocked through the week to see that nobody addressed the spiritual implications of this person who passed. And I don't have anything negative to say about the person, because I don't put down anybody. And the person was actually very, very funny, in the person of George Carlin, okay, who passed on last Sunday. And I have here from his website that he was born May 12th of 1937, and he passed on June 22, actually, is when it was, June 22nd, 2008. So he had 71 years, and God fulfilled his promise to Mr. Carlin to allow him 70, which was in Psalm 90, verse 7, that God gives to people on earth. But he went about his life, the majority of his time, he was an advocate of free speech. if you will. And somebody will probably say that what I'm saying is hate speech against him, so I want to be careful to say that I have free speech just as well as he did, and he was an advocate of that. So no one should be offended by the things that I say, because I only will say things that he purported about himself to the world. He was one of the greatest preachers against religion and righteousness in all the earth and all of time that has ever been spoken on the planet Earth. And it's very interesting. Nobody mentioned that at all in the media the whole week. Now, perhaps they were trying to be kind to his family, because I'm sure there is mourning there, and it's very sad the fact that he is not here anymore. And so I don't try to add pain to anybody's mourning or anything. That's not the purpose of the words that I say. But since he was such an advocate against religion and against the truth, and he made a good portion of his career criticizing religion and the church and all that, I thought someone would mention that. And it was not mentioned at all, so I felt compelled to mention it myself this morning. And I'm not trying to cast hate speech or say anything about him, but based on his own words, this is what he left in a statement. I don't know if this comes from a will of his or whatever, but it is on the front page of his website. And it says this, just so you know. He says that he wished that no public service of any kind would be had upon his death. So I guess this must be a statement he made about his death. I wish no religious service of any kind. Didn't want any religious service of any kind. I prefer a private gathering at my home attended by friends and family members, who shall be determined by my immediate surviving family, his wife and his daughters, in parentheses. The exact nature of this gathering shall be determined by my surviving family, which is a good thing, because they may decide to have a spiritual service, which is what you really need. Upon the exit of somebody in death, you want to be comforted by God, who he advocated didn't exist. Okay, but so he doesn't want that, and he's writing this in his own will, right from his own website. The exact nature of this gathering shall be determined by my surviving family, wife and daughter, in parentheses. It should be extremely informal. They should play rhythm and blues music, and they should laugh a lot, he says. Vague references to spirituality, secular is in parentheses, will be permitted. Okay, that's what he wrote, I guess, because it's signed by him, George Carlin, May 1st of 1990. So apparently he thought he might need to write something of this sort as recently as 1990. And so therefore, I would say he, by his own words, purported that he had no interest in spiritual things all the way down to the very end, and wrote such a thing as this. But nobody mentioned that the whole time. Nobody said a thing about it. Now, I noticed HBO immediately cranked up a special, and so did CNN, talking about all the accolades of this great comedian, George Carlin. He had a lot of funny things to say. I've heard him myself. But I don't think it's very funny when a person goes to the grave without Jesus Christ. And so I can't allow that to happen without speaking to the issue itself. Now, and that has plenty to do, because I said everybody is either in Adam or they're in Christ. And so he said he was not in Christ and didn't want anything to do with Christ or the church, and went around openly mocking God throughout most of his adult life. And so I have to mention that. I just have to mention it, because Satan does have preachers, and people who preach against God apparently are not preaching for God if you preach against him. And if we have such free speech, it shouldn't be anything horrible that I would stand here and say this today, because I have free speech too. I don't hate anyone. God loves everyone, and either you believe he does or you don't. So putting all your eggs in one basket is to risk losing everything by putting all your efforts or all your money into one plan or one course of action. That's the definition from the Cambridge International Dictionary of Idioms, Cambridge University Press, 1998. And so if you're going to invest money, they say it's bad advice to put all your eggs in one basket. And mainly that's because man is in charge of stocks and bonds and all those kind of things, and they may fail you and let you down. When it comes to spiritual matters, it's very important to put your eggs in one basket. And I want to say that and use that as a metaphor here today. So putting all your eggs in one basket, or to risk your money or your reputation in support of one idea or plan, is what we call putting your eggs in one basket. Somebody said, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, so I played five different lottery games, but lost them all, end quote, from this website. So they lost anyway, so they still really had their eggs in one basket. They didn't realize all the lottery games were the same basket anyway. And so they had to say they tried on five different ones, whoever this particular person was. And so the etymology is based on the idea that if all your eggs you got from your chickens are in one basket or one container and you drop it, that you lose all your eggs. They're all gone. And so that's where it comes from. Now, this idea of the basket is pretty popular to be spoken of. There's such a thing as a saying of going to hell in a handbasket. Have you heard that before? And so that's a kind of a modern statement. I tried to look that up and run it down. Couldn't find too much on it, but it said you can go to hell in a hand cart or in a handbasket. Those are two phrases that are used in the English alliterative phrase of unclear origin, it says, from the same dictionary, describing something or a situation taking a turn for the worse towards disaster without an effort or in great haste. In other words, something went quickly bad, and it's like that means this is going to hell in a handbasket. It's not coming back, and that's kind of a phrase that they use. And this was opposed to going to heaven in a wheelbarrow, they said, on the same website. So they have all these kind of things that are floating around out here in the world. And so we even have a basket case, somebody mentioned, where you could be a basket case. That means that you're no longer able to cope and you're cut out and you can't do anything. And so this is a derogatory slang for mentally ill person is one thing, and to say, oh, he's a basket case, that means he's not completely right in his mind, he can't cope anymore, he can't handle it, or something to that effect. But it's also about an infirm or a failing person or unable to properly function, and it originally referred to soldiers who lost their limbs, both arms and legs, and they said that they were a basket case, and they denied that back at the time of World War I, and it was a phrase that may have come from there. And so this lesson we have today is kind of like that. There are those who have all their eggs in one basket. There are people who try to cover all the bases, like the person who bought the five lottery tickets to try to make sure I don't put all my eggs in one basket and still lost. That's kind of like it is when you try to skate on religious matters, when you try to say I'm going to trust in many gods in order to make sure that I get the right God. Well, that was the mistake they made in Athens. And so the truth of the matter is, if your eggs are not all in one basket, trusting in Christ alone, the Bible says you will perish. This book that he mocked and criticized, blasphemed God publicly, made millions of dollars on TV doing this. You see, he talked about it like it was no good, of any value. Many people sat there and applauded and laughed. I was amazed to see how many people applauded and laughed at the damnable things that he said against God and against Christ and against the church and everything religious, not only of a Christianity, but he criticized all religions and said they were all BS, to use his terminology. And so that's a sad thing to me when I think about that. And so I want to make sure that no one who hears what I have to say, well, certainly they couldn't mind if you thought what he said was okay. Certainly what I'm saying will be even better and should not be looked down upon, because this is from the Scripture, the Word of God. And so we see here that the people always have had a problem with this, and I can somewhat relate to some of the reasons why he may have felt the way he did, because there's a lot of hogwash in the church, frankly, and we've talked about it. There's a whole lot of stuff in the church that shouldn't be there, that doesn't come from the Scriptures, that people have purported, and there's all kinds of charlatans in religion, and I understand that, and I'm just as angry as he was about all those things, you see, because those things shouldn't exist either. But you have them out here every day. They're in the world. You have people foisting false religion and all kinds of ridiculous stuff that's not founded in biblical truth out there in the world. But that does not excuse you to ignore God or to act as though he doesn't exist. Just because there's, like we can say, as it was in the days of Noah, only eight people got saved. The majority of people didn't believe what Noah was preaching. You see what I'm saying? And so the majority of them were destroyed, and God saved those who believed. We see that all the time. We saw it with two being saved who were born in Egypt, came across the Red Sea on dry land. Only two of them that were born in Egypt were saved, including Moses. Did you know that? Think about that. Moses was there. He was the deliverer who God called back at the age of 80 to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt from their enemies through the Red Sea on dry land. But all that generation that was with Moses all died in the wilderness in the 40 years when they wandered in the wilderness and didn't go into the promised land. Only two went, including Moses. He didn't make it either. He died in the wilderness and was buried in Moab. Yet he wrote the first five books of the Bible. Doesn't mean he was lost, but he didn't get the deliverance that he came to preach to the people. You see that? He died in the wilderness, didn't cross the Jordan into the promised land. The only two that did were Joshua and Caleb, those two who had been born in Egypt, and the next generation, because that whole generation died in the 40 years while they wandered in the wilderness, and the next generation went in with Joshua and Caleb as leaders. Did you realize how profound that is? That's shocking to me. That means that God doesn't mind dumping a lot of people. Now, that's the kind of stuff that Mr. Carlin criticized. He said, why would God do that? And he tried to cast all the blame on God for suffering, misery, and all those things. But he failed to look at the cross. The cross is the place where God dealt with suffering, misery, death, sin, and all of that. The fault is not God's. The problem is sin. You see that? And so Paul addresses this here, and this is a very crucial portion of Scripture, and I wanted us to take a look at it today. A writer who wrote in on a blog said this about Mr. Carlin, just to finish up with my thoughts about him and things that I never heard anybody say. From another website, this was Mimi B, who writes on the website dated June 24th, 2008. She says, amen, George knew that there was a higher power. He just didn't know who it was. And in his mannerism, I do not believe I have plagiarized, he said. Today, a local man died today after jumping off an airplane, plummeting to his death on impact. Well, when he was asked why he did such a thing, the man gave no comment. Obviously not. See, if you jumped off an airplane and died on impact, you don't have any more comments. So he says, may the higher power bless you, George, and I hope that you reunited with your first wife, and I hope that you are watching us and inspire someone in this next generation to make us aware. You will truly be missed by all who knew you and watched you on HBO. Now, that speaks to the kind of thing that goes around in the public. People think any old higher power is okay as long as you have one. Is that what the Bible says? Sorry, it isn't. Okay, it is not. God has prepared one way for all men, women, boys, and girls to be right, and that is through his son, Jesus Christ. Men have been mistaken and misled by some of the things that have gone on throughout the years. In Psalm 49, it says here, this is for a choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah. And remember the sons of Korah. Korah was the guy who said that all the congregation is holy. And he rejected Moses and Aaron and said that we are all the seed of Abraham. We can all do this. Who makes you think you're so righteous? Because God has separated Moses and Aaron to be the priest. And the Korah was of the Kohathites, the tribe of the cousins of Moses and Aaron. They were supposed to set up the temple and handle the holy objects of worship. That was their duty. But they said, well, who says this is our duty? They didn't believe the word of God. And so God consumed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and 250 other rebels in fire and closed up the ground when they contested Moses. You can read about that in the book of Numbers. But this is written by the sons of Korah. And they say this, so think about how they may have been impacted by the way their father had rejected the counsel of the word of God. Hear this, all peoples, and give ear, all inhabitants of the world. So this message is for a global message to all the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. See, it doesn't make any difference where you are on the social strata as far as rich or poor. He says, my mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of mine heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will express my riddle on the harp. He says, by music, I'm going to do this. Keep in mind the Psalms were songs that were sang, back in the biblical days. He says in verse 5, why should I fear in the days of adversity when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me? Why should we be worried about all the people who hate the Lord and the foes of God are all around us? The question is, we really shouldn't. And this is a parabolic statement here. Then he says this, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches. Why should we be worried about the rich crushing us down? Sometimes we are. We worry about powerful people and what impact they may have on us in our lives. But the psalmist asks, why? Why should you worry about these things? People who do not love the Lord, people who are rich to try to overpower you because of their richness and the possessions and the abundance of things they have. He says here, notice this is the reason why. He says in verse number 7, that no man can by any means redeem his brother or give God a ransom for him. See, nobody can pay your debt to God, no matter how much they have, is what the point is, on earth, because they can't pay for their own. So how are they going to pay for yours? They cannot pay for their own debt. They owe God. They have an inestimable debt to God that cannot be paid. So how in the world, no matter what they have, can they pay mine? How can they pay my ransom before the Most High God? It says here, verse number 9, that he should be live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. Who can buy themselves out of death and the grave? The answer is no one. See that? Verse number 10, for he sees that even wise men die, no matter how smart you are, no matter what you know, you cannot preserve yourself from death. We got people trying to do that right now. We got folks wanting to be frozen and cloning and stem cells with embryos, all kinds of things, anything. There's no limits to what we'll do with our knowledge to try to keep ourselves out of the grave. You know what? None of it works. The ratio is 1 to 1. Nobody has figured it out. No matter how smart they are, whatever they have come up with has equaled 0. They still go to the grave. Everyone does. 1 to 1. You see that? And so now notice this. For he sees that even wise men die, the stupid and the senseless alike. Doesn't make any difference if you're smart or dumb. The grave is waiting on you. You see that? And so then he says, and they perish and leave their wealth to others. Nobody takes a penny with them when they go. Interesting philosophy. Now, this is not new. This is old. This was written by the sons of Korah, Psalm number 49. Their inner thought is, this is what they're thinking in their minds, that their houses are forever and their dwelling places to all generations. You see that? They have called their lands after their own names. They name the land after them. This is whatever. They name it after themselves. We love to do that these days and slap our name on a building somewhere. I see preachers and churches doing it. You know, they put the name of the preacher up there on the building, and that's not going to keep you here 1 second longer. And if you own the whole country, it won't keep you here 1 second longer. You're going to go when your time comes. Notice this, but man in his pomp will not endure. And he like the beast that he is like the beast that perish. He goes just like beast, even though he's smarter, has more control, more power, more authority. This is the way of those who are foolish. And those after them who approve their words. You see that? When foolish people talk against the truth, he said, this is the way of them that are foolish. Yeah, and people follow the words of people who have foolish words and say foolish things against God. It's a very terrible thing. That's why I don't mind speaking up against it. If you have free speech to blaspheme God, talk about Christ, put down the church and all that, I have free speech to speak the truth and say it loud. And be proud, just as much free speech as you had. And I don't hate anybody any more than you say you did. You see? And so I'm not offended by what you said because it was not against me. It was against God. But I am going to say what is right about God. I'm going to say it loud and say it proud because I'm happy about the truth. And my free speech doesn't end just because somebody else doesn't like what I say any more than I liked anything that he said. So hopefully no one will be angry with me about saying these things. If they are, I pray for you that the Lord will adjust your heart because you need to be undergo a change of salvation. Now notice verse 14. As sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning, and their form shall be for Sheol to consume. In other words, Sheol is a word for the grave. So that they have no habitation. But God will redeem my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. That's the solution. Is God is the one who can ransom your soul from the grave. Can't get there by yourself. Your money won't buy you back. Your knowledge won't get you back. Nobody on earth can get you back. No man can stand for you in your sin except God. He's the one who does redemption, and he's the only one who has proven it. That's why it's a tragic thing to see somebody have that many years and go to their grave without Christ. So I wanted this message to be kind of shocking, and that's the reason why it may seem shocking to you today that I would say that, but I heard nobody on the news at all, not on any major media, not conservative, not liberal, say anything about this, and I think it needs to be said. And so I was moved to say this and to get these facts and bring them together. Now notice this. This is what people who do not know and love God or receive God's grace and kindness, first of all, they think they don't need it, or they think that they can go on and we're going to figure out a way to get around God. Well, you're not going to do that. Everyone needs to be redeemed and to be saved. The only one that you should listen to is the only one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. One person has done that in the history of mankind. His name is Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. You can't say you don't know about him. The calendar is preaching him right now. 2008 years ago, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's not an accident. It's not a farce, not an imagination, not any of those things that he accused Christ of being. See, it's real. And your birth date, I have to look on here to see when you were born and when you died, based on his birthday, when he was born and when he died. Why is that? Because he is the Most High God, the only Savior of the world. And not only that, but all the stuff that seems unfair and unjust, God knows about it. And maybe you want to joke about it or think it's funny. It's not funny when they close the coffin and drop you in the ground without Jesus. It's not funny at all. You know, and it will come to your mind at that time that there is a God and that he does sit high and he has sent his son. All these things will become crystal clear at the moment that you breathe your last breath. And so this is the good news. Why could you read all about and look at the atrocities of the church? And I'm saying, yes, the church does have a lot of foolishness. We mentioned it last week. Not all the church is the church. You got people who don't even understand the gospel, and they stand in pulpits and reside over thousands of people with complete hogwash every Sunday and every day on TV. See, they don't even understand the gospel, don't know it at all. But they take in thousands of dollars. That was another criticism Mr. Carlin had about the church, is that whoever that God is, he needs an awful lot of money and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't understand why God needed so much money. Well, see, the problem is you ought to get in the word, get in the truth. God doesn't need anything from anyone. You know, he gives you breath to breathe every day. He extended you 71 years to walk on his earth and suck in his air and eat his food and do everything else and even blaspheme his name till you died. He allowed you to do that. See, he allows many others. It's not just him. He's just an icon for that. And the liberals put him up on front. He was the spokesperson for all the people who hate God and blaspheme the church, in which God loves every one of them. Absolutely, he does. God is the one who did something about their sin. God is the one who sent his only son to be crucified for them. They know about the crucifixion. Problem with them, they don't believe it. They don't trust the gospel of Christ. They don't believe God sent his son to die and raised him from the dead. He's the only one who defeated death, hell, and the grave. No one else has ever done that. See? And the news of it is being preached right now, whether people believe it or not. No matter what you think or believe, it's out there. It's in the Bible. It's true. The world is configured around Christ. Why don't you believe it? So I want to challenge some people, because the thing is, the confusion of the devil always manifests itself in the world of unbelievers who toss about the multitude of either atheists or religious ideas that compete for the hearts and the minds of people seeking to understand the truth concerning God, who obviously exist as known through the complexity of all that is known to exist. Everything we see is telling you there is a God. You know what? I can't look at birds. I see so many different birds with cute little bits of color here and there that identify them from all the rest of the birds. And then you see something like a big old pelican or a vulture or a buzzard or different types of birds like that. And they're all sizes, from a little hummingbird on up to a buzzard. And if you think that happened by accident, buddy, you need more faith than I do than to believe that God created them. See, there's no way that's an accident. And then billions of birds just morphed into all these things, and then they stuck like that and stayed that way forever. You need some faith if you believe that. If you believe that man came from some big explosion and came up out of a primordial soup and turned into a monkey and all that, was a cat and then became a dog, you need lots of faith, because there is no science. Understand that, none, absolutely none. Not one shred of credible science to tell you that that's so. That's a lie is what it is. Now, I don't mind saying that loud. Evolution is a lie, a damnable lie, sending multitudes of people to hell because there is no scientific evidence. It is not science. It's more of a religion than what I'm preaching. You need more faith to believe that hogwash than you need to believe the gospel of Christ. And there's no evidence for it at all, nowhere on earth. If it is, show me. Bring it to my house. Show me. I'll put it on my website. And we'll broadcast it around the world. The reason you can't do it is there is none. There's no science at all that makes that lie acceptable on earth. You need more faith to believe that hogwash than you do to believe the truth. The truth is easier to believe than it is to believe that lie. You need more faith for that than you do to believe the truth, and that's absolutely so. So evolution is a religion. It's a demonic, atheistic religion that denies the truth and the existence of God. If you believe that, you need a lot of faith. You got more faith than I do if you believe that. You see, because there is no evidence. But the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. See, the stuff I see is no accident. It's no accident that there are orioles and sparrows and all these various types of birds, cardinals, that have totally different characteristics and never change. That's why extinction is one of the greatest proofs that there is a God. How can there be an extinct species? You see what I mean? When something doesn't exist anymore, why not? You killed them all, and there aren't any more. That's the reason why, and you can't make any. There's not going to be any that's going to evolve. That's not going to happen. They just don't exist anymore. They're done. When man kills them all, so extinct species is proof that there is no evolution. You see? And I have more proof. How do you have fish and animals with, like snakes, with poison venom in science? It is religion. And so everybody ought to understand that. So people who preach that lie, and they poison the minds of many, because people just, they have this any way the wind blows attitude, like this woman who said, oh, whatever higher power, you want to believe there's some big goo out there and you can't know who it is. But he has come close, and he loved you. That's why he sent his son into the midst of all this mess and allowed him to be crucified, because God is holy. God is holy. There had to be a payment made, and he decided to make the payment for you because nobody on earth could do it. And he allowed Jesus to be crucified for everyone who believes in him. So if you can deny that, go ahead. But you're in bad shape. All your eggs are in the wrong basket, and it's going to come crashing down one day, and you're not going to have anywhere to stand. So the psalmist understood that there is no way that one man can pay the ransom for another in Psalm 49, not even for himself, because the debt of sin is an infinite one, and it can only be paid by God himself. And that's what we need to understand. Only God could let us off the hook for our sin. God is displeased with all the same stuff that he criticized, that Mr. Carlin criticized, and so many others. And I'm not picking on him, because there's thousands of people who believe, like he does, that they cannot be saved and that there is no God. And I'm here to contest that this morning and to challenge people everywhere to put away the foolish thoughts of your mind, because you need a lot of faith to believe that. My challenge is listen carefully to the claims of Christ and his apostles, the primary writers of the New Testament, and the orthodox teaching of the fundamental Christianity. That means those who exegete the truth out of the word, not people who add stuff to the word like so many parts of the church do, and pray for understanding about the gospel. That's what I want to ask people who don't believe to do. Believe the word. You have more reason to believe the gospel than you do to believe any hogwash. All the people telling us about evolution, find me one of them that's 110 years old, and I'll believe him. If you can find me one that's 115, you know what? You're not going to find one. You know why? People don't make it that long. God doesn't give you that much time to figure it out. He's giving you enough evidence in the time that he does give you to know that he sent his son and that he loves you. Because there isn't anyone else in the world like Jesus. And so basically what we want to see here is, it says in Romans 5, we're going to, this is some of this is a little review, and then we'll wrap up our thoughts here. But I wanted you to hear this today. And I felt very passionate about these things, and we needed to say it, because no one else is saying it. I haven't heard a soul anywhere on the radio. I've been listening, dialing in different people to see if anybody going to address this issue. No one did. But God demonstrates his own love, Romans 5 and 8, toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, none of us deserve to be saved, Christ died for us. This is history. It's historic fact. It's not speculation. If you are a good historian, you know Jesus Christ was a living human being who walked on earth, and that you may not know exactly when, but you know he was here. You cannot lie and say he was not here. If you're any kind of a historian at all who believes any true historic records, you cannot lie and say he was not here. Now, you can lie if you want to, but it won't help you. All the credible people in the church who preached him throughout the ages knows that he was here. You know, those who trust and believe him knows he was here. You know why? Because they get a new filling of the Spirit of God. They're born again from the Spirit of God. Their life changes dramatically, and they begin to do good instead of doing bad. That's the thing you need to know. God makes a real change in the life of those who trust in the name of his Son. And people who don't trust him, don't believe in him, will never experience it. And so that's why we're preaching that you are either in Adam or in Christ. You have to trust and believe the gospel, the good news that God loved you, sent his son, that he was crucified to justify you by his blood, as it says in verse 9, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. One way to be delivered from the wrath of God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. For if while we were enemies, We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See that? And so God's promise is that he loved you so much he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And not only this, Paul says, verse 11, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We know our account is square with God. Why? Because God is the one who initiated it. He's the only one who could pay the debt. No one else could pay it except God. You see that? And he did it, and he broadcast it, and it's being preached in all the earth. Therefore, just as through the one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, we know that's true. Nobody can deny that. The hearse wheels keep on rolling. Every day, you look around, you see them rolling every day. They have never stopped since the days of Adam. They're going to roll on until the second advent of Christ. You see that? So just as through one man, Adam, death entered the world, sin entered the world, and death by sin, he says, and then he goes on to say, and so death spread unto all men. Now that's true. That's an ironclad fact, historically and scientifically true. You see that? Because all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. In other words, even though God hadn't given the law until the time of Moses, from Adam to Moses, people still died because sin was in the world. You see that? That's the reason why. We know sin is real because it produces death. So nevertheless, death reigned from Adam until Moses over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come. Adam is a federal head of humanity. In other words, he affects everybody just like Christ does. But he says in verse 15, the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one, of the one who he's speaking of is Adam, the many died. How many is that? All, everyone. Much more did the grace of God and the gift of God by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Now, the many there is as many as believe. The first many is everybody. The second many is as many as believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can receive that free gift of God's grace. And then looking at verse 16, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. You see that? For on the one hand, judgment arose from one transgression resulting in the condemnation. He says it's resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. In other words, Adam's one sin made everybody who's ever born a sinner. But Christ's one gift justifies all the sins of everybody. You see that? And so he's comparing Christ with Adam here, saying that Adam affects everyone, and so will Christ. Christ will affect you whether you believe in him or not. If you go to the grave without him and continue in Adam with all your eggs in that basket, you'll be sorry. If you go to the grave in Christ, you've been taken out of Adam, you will be delighted. If you go and diversify your basket and say, well, I'm going to cover all the bases, I believe in all these other gods, then you might as well put your eggs like the 5 lottery tickets in one basket, and that's the basket against Christ, and you're in Adam still. There's only one way to get right, and that's put all your eggs in the basket of Jesus Christ and trust in him alone. And you know what? I want to say this. And sometimes this is not true that people who listen to the preacher think the way the preacher does. We just went through a lot of that with the Obama campaign. We don't know that he thinks and believes everything his pastor said. And I don't know that anyone here does. But I just want to tell you about me. My eggs are totally in the basket of Jesus Christ. I don't believe anything else or anyone else. And I want to go on record of saying that. Therefore, I have the confidence that God who wrote this will keep his promise. I'm trusting in him, and if my eggs are in the wrong basket, then you all will, I'll be in hell, put it that way, because I'm not trusting anyone else, and I don't believe that there's anything else anywhere that can save you. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not. I hope you do, because the Bible says if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's only one name under heaven which has been given among men, in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There's one name under heaven which has been given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is the name Jesus Christ. You see that? One name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's either true or it's a lie. I believe it. I believe it with my whole mind, my whole heart, my whole soul. not trusting anything but Christ. And so I hope that that's how you are as well. So look in here. Notice as we wrap up our thoughts for him, he says, if by the transgression of one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. So then, as through the one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, that means everybody needs to give an account to God, even so, through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. In other words, Christ is available for everyone who believes him. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you want to be clean, trust in Jesus Christ. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, that's all of us, even so through the one through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. You see that? Righteousness comes as a free gift from God on the basis of faith in Christ. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only sensible possibility for providing sinners in debt to a holy God. You see, and God is not the author of confusion. If there is confusion, you can believe the devil is behind it. Many are confused today, but many need to take time and pray. Separate yourself from the foolishness of the world and the unscientific doctrine of evolution, which it has no basis in science at all, period. It's completely ridiculous. You need more faith for that than you do to actually hear the gospel of Christ and believe it. So I pray that many will do that. Let us have a closing word of prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we pray that you bless those that are mourning, whoever they are, even the family of Mr. Carlin. We pray that you bless them with peace and that they come to know you as their Savior, and that many people hearing this message will come to know you as their Savior, that they will set aside the foolishness of mankind and turn to Christ, your Son, whom you have given to be the only acceptable ransom in your sight, that many might hear the gospel, the good news, and be saved. Bless every person who desires to know and understand you. Give them an open mind, open heart, and fill their mind with the knowledge of your holy word by which they can be saved. And help them to believe the gospel, fill them with your spirit, lead them and guide them to all truth. We bless you. We thank you for the good news that you unveiled, that all men everywhere can be clean by your gift, the gift of your grace through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless every home and family that's represented here. Bless us as we go down from this place and travel to our various destinations. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer, and we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in each one of you from henceforth and even forevermore. Amen. Amen. Any questions or comments that you have, we'll take those at this time. Any questions, comments?